2 Kings, the 4th chapter, at the 8th verse. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Can I hear you say, a great woman? Word of God said that Elisha passed by where was a great woman. That's a wonderful statement, isn't it? Now, this woman was great in many ways, but we'll talk about that later on. A great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. And let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, a candlestick, and it shall be that when he comes to us that he shall turn in. And it fell on a day when he came in thither that he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, something's working. God's up to something. Something's working in her behalf. Tonight, something's working in your behalf. Watch it. God's at work in your behalf. God has good plans for you. God has a good plan for your life. I mean, it just kind of reads along, you know. The Word of God is such an interesting book. Sometimes you really have to slow down and go back and really pick up on where God's placing the emphasis. How many know it makes all the difference where you place the emphasis, but it makes all the difference where God places the emphasis. And so it's interesting that he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite, call this woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, say now unto her, behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. In other words, you have taken very good care of us. You've been very thoughtful, given to detail. You've not just served us, you've served us with excellence. You've not just prepared things for us, you have done a great job. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What is to be done for thee? You know, really, that's the New Testament equivalent of ask what you will. Ask what you will. Ask what you will. You've done all this. You know, sometimes the devil says, you've done this and you've done that and you've done this and you've done that. But what's in it for you? Get ready, get ready, get ready. God's up to something in your behalf. God is up to something in your behalf. Now, what is to be done for you? You say, well, I wish somebody would prophesy that to me. You just heard it. I wish some prophet of God could come in and stop and say, thus saith the Lord, ask what you will. When that truth is quickened to your heart, you just heard it. Thus saith the Lord is not the only prophecy that comes forth in a church. When your spirit leaps within you and it's in line with the Word of God, you just got a word from God. You know, sometimes we kind of go through a service, you know, just, you know, ho-hum, until we get to maybe our favorite part of the service. I'll tell you, folks, we better keep our antennas up all the way through. You can get a word from God during praise and worship. You can get a word from God during the offering teaching. You can get a word from God when you're on your way down to give. You can get a word from God sitting there listening to the ministry of the Word of God. Praise be unto God. In your hand is the Word, and the Holy Spirit is the fire and the gasoline that ignites that word in your spirit. And whenever that word is quickened in you, that's God's rhema word for you. Now, you may be here tonight and there may be no pressing needs in your life. That's not a big deal at all. But there are times when we come to church, we didn't say anything to anybody, may not have said anything to our best friend. But I mean, inside, we're saying, I've got to hear from God tonight. I need a word from God tonight. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen this week, you know. Nobody knows what's going on the job. No one is aware, but God's aware. Get ready. God's up to something good for you. Just get ready. What is to be done for you? Do you want me to speak to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. No, that's not a need right now. And he said, what then is to be done for thee? What do you want, woman? What do you need? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child and her husband is old. Well, this is not the first time we see this in Holy Writ. Seems like I remember Abraham and Sarah. Seems like I remember Zechariah and Elizabeth. Seems like I remember that the Word of God tells us that there were many situations that required a miracle. I don't know why it is. It seems like sometimes God just lets something fall into the total miracle zone before something happens. Sometimes it just seems like maybe that's when our faith really goes out. Sometimes we don't get serious until we have to. Well, would you pray about this? Oh, you mean it's come to that? Prayer should not be our last resort. Prayer should be our first resort. Well, the prophet of God said in verse 16, and he said about this season according to the time of life. About this season according to the time of life. You will embrace a son. Not a child, a son. He was definite here. It's going to be a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, man of God, do not lie unto your handmaid. Don't tell me a word unless it's accurate. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Now, I want to stop reading right there, and I want to go back and share some of the things that I shared with you in the service last week. The Bible calls her a great woman. I get a little weary sometimes of the tabloids, and I read precious few, just maybe something passing through a food mart or whatever. But you know, the Bible calls this world system calls everything great. Toothpaste is great. Deodorant's great. Of course, if you need it, it is, but cars are great. Dog food's great. Houses are great. You know, all kinds of things are called great in the Word of God. But you know, the secret to really getting into the heart of God is to find out what God calls great. There's a lot of things that churches call great. Great this, great that. But if God doesn't call it great, you're just wasting your time. I mean, with all of my heart, I want to give my life, my attention, the ministry, the faith, the gifts or the giftings that God's placed within me to getting involved with what God calls great. Because if God calls something great, you remember on one occasion he said, great faith. You have great faith. I've not seen a greater faith in Israel. Well, you better go back and read that story. I want to tell you, when Jesus says, I found great faith, you can just mark it down. He found great faith. He didn't find hype. He didn't find religion. He didn't find someone just overexcited or emotional. Great faith. I found no greater faith than this in all of Israel. Man, what a statement. Now, I want to just look at this woman, this great woman. What constitutes greatness? What does God see and what does God reward according to what the Bible calls true greatness? Let me tell you one thing about great people. Great people are great givers. And I don't know, it just seems like there's been a strong emphasis in the body. And I know after the storm and the tornado and so on, You know, the devil would like to come and say, well, you need to slow down on your giving. You need to slow down on your, you know, you're giving, you're just giving too much. You just, folks, I'll tell you, when the pressure's on, we need to give more when the pressure's on than when the pressure's off. Great. When the Word of God speaks of a great person invariably is a great giver. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about giving encouragement. I mean, people are on the edge. People just on the verge of going off today. You were close to people all day long that needed a word of encouragement. Just someone to say, be of good courage. You can make it. God loves you. Life is worth living. But you see, let's go quickly through this great woman story here. First of all, you see, she saw a need and she met it. Now we're just looking at the story here. Something brought this miracle about. She saw a need and she met it. I'll never the longest day I live forget when our church began to grow and on Bear Street, and you've heard me give the illustration. Our church began to grow and we needed to understand the principles of excellence, how to do better ushering, better nursery. I mean, we needed help in every area when our church began to grow. And I went to a church conference and I never will forget a pastor. I don't hardly have room to do it, but I'll try to do what I'm doing here. But there was a pastor, he said, he just walked out and he was getting ready to preach and he just put a piece of paper there and I'll put it up where you can probably see it. And then after he put it there, he just looked at it, walked over it, and walked out the side door. He was gone about 3 or 4 minutes. Congregation of 3,000 people, they thought, what's going on here? He came back through the door and just kind of kicked it aside, went out the side door on the other side of the platform. After a while, he came through, came by the same piece of paper, and he picked it up. And he held it for a moment, and he said, that's leadership. See, a lot of people said, let the janitor pick it up. A lot of people said, that's not my job. That's not my thing. I don't pick up paper. I don't go there. But he came back through, and he picked up the paper that formerly had just been flipped out of the way. He said, this is leadership. Now, I'm going somewhere tonight. You know, some people will do everything in the world to get out of doing something, giving something, being something, picking up something. But a leader looks for something to do, looks for something to pick up, looks for something that he can fix. I don't mean that you make a nuisance out of yourself or get in everybody's way, but I mean, it doesn't take a lot of mentality. Just see a piece of paper and pick it up and just... praise the Lord. Find the nearest trash can and just put it in the trash can. You're saying, Brother Nichols, that's not spiritual. Oh, yes, it is. Because if everybody dropped pieces of paper in the church or in the office or the factory or the shop or the school, before long you'd have such a mess on hand you couldn't even conduct business because you had so much trash on the floor. Now, this woman saw a need. She saw a need. You say, what's so interesting about that? Well, she constrained Elisha to eat bread. And she fed and she cared for the man of God and, of course, his servant. She sowed seed. She obeyed Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. She didn't wait until she got to church. She met needs before she got to church. Her lifestyle was living to give. You see, this is not just about feeding a preacher. And that's not where I'm going. This is about kingdom principles of knowing and obeying the kingdom principles of the Word of God. Finding a need and meeting it. Not saying, that's not my job. That's not my gifting. That's not my talent. That's what we pay other people to do. She saw a need and she met it. And ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the great secrets to success. Somebody who has 20/20 vision to see something that needs to be done, sees something that needs to be prayed about, sees some person that needs a word of courage, sees something that can be done, makes no big deal about it. They just see a need and they meet it. And the second insight was that she on a regular basis continued to feed Elisha and his servant when they would come through. You know, many start, but they stop. I said, many start, but they stop. I see a lot of people, their lives are in a mess. And when you check into it, I mean, I deal with more things between Sundays than even our own staff is aware of, and they deal with things that I'm not aware of. But you know, if you see something that you just can't get something off of, worked out or off of high center in a person's life, sometimes it's like an automobile. You check the oil. You check the water. You start going through a checklist. There's a reason this car is not functioning right. There's a reason things are not happening right. And I'll never forget, there was a minister. I helped him and helped him and helped him. And one day I said, it just jumped out of my spirit. Ask him if he's tithing. And I thought, Lord, that will insult him. He said, you won't insult me or him. I said, okay, we got that straight right quick. And so I was having lunch with him one day, and he was having trouble again, and he was needing some help. And I looked at him, I said, are you tithing? And I mean, he almost swallowed about 3 bites at one time. And he said, and I'm not being unkind. Preachers need the same word you need. And he said, but you don't understand, Pastor Bob. I can't afford to tithe. And I said, you don't preach that. You don't preach that. Out in your revivals, you don't preach that. I'll guarantee you, you preach that people should give. And that's right. That's scriptural. And there's no way out of your dilemma. If you, a man of God, aren't tithing, how in the world is God going to deliver you out of the mess you're in? I'm here to help you tonight. She not only met a need, she kept on meeting a need. Sometimes I see a person, oh, Brother Nichols, we tithe for 2 Sundays. 2 months ago. But it's not working. You don't tithe for a Sunday or 2 Sundays. You tithe every time God blesses you. Good days, bad days. When you have to cut something back a little bit, put God first. I'll tell you, there's no blessing in the world like putting God first. And just saying, Lord, this is for you. I'll tell you, folks, we put relatives first. We put things first. We put food first. We put pleasure first. We put everything in the world first but God Almighty, and wonder why we're having difficulty. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, folks, you know, I've often said, they said, well, Brother Nichols, I can't afford to give offerings. I said, let's just go back to basics. Let's talk about tithe here. Just do what you can do and start where you are. Amen. One step at a time is the way you climb a mountain. One step at a time is your way out. One step of obedience at a time and God will bring you out. Well, praise the Lord. She saw a need and met it. Number two, she on a regular basis continued to feed Elisha. I'm talking to you about what God calls greatness. You see, many start to sing in the choir. They start with Stitches. They start Bible school. They start the Power Tower. They start this and they start that. But they stop. Oh, God is a God of faithfulness. Folks, if God was not faithful, my breath would leave my body. I'd fall out, not under the power, but I'd fall out literally because life would leave my body. Because God is faithful, I'm alive tonight. Because God is faithful, you're alive tonight. Because God is faithful, we're born again and our sins are forgiven. And we're on our way to heaven. And we're the righteousness of God in Christ. What it's all about is God's faithfulness. Every day, 24 hours a day. God's not faithful 23 hours a day and He takes an hour off. Oh, thank God. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. It's so important to be faithful in prayer, to be faithful in reading at least a chapter of God's Word a day, to be faithful in attending the house of God. Amen. To be faithful. Oh, folks, when you start to be faithful, you act like God. You act like God. I mean, you may come with no manifestation. There may be no tears flowing down your cheeks. You may just come and say, man, I don't know. I wasted my time coming to church. But if you came to church in faith, believing, our faithful God made a record of that. And I want you to know that God blesses faithful people. There's a time you can't come, and God knows that, and I know that. But when you come and you won't, and you put other things in front of that, you're putting something else before God. Oh, the principle of success is, but seek you first, 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 seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. So important to be faithful. Thirdly, she recognized and respected the anointing. You know, this is so important. She called holy what God called holy. She celebrated what God celebrated. You see, she said, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. I get these war stories, and I know they're true because I check them out when I'm involved. Minister from another state called, and I mean, the unkindness, the abuse, the craziness. I mean, just absolutely, they have no... Some organized groups of religion just have no qualms whatsoever about ruining a minister if they could, crushing his family, turning him out without any finance or without any help. Just have no qualms about it whatsoever. I'm going to tell you, there's a fear of God in this boy. There's a fear of God in this preacher tonight. I want to call holy what God calls holy, and I want to treat holy what God calls holy. I want to say that again. I want to call holy what God calls holy, and I want to treat holy what God calls holy. And I want to call unholy what God calls unholy. And there's some unholy things, staff, that we need to start hitting on. I mean, stronger and stronger and stronger. We're living in a crazy world, and if we don't preach it, who will? It does make a difference how you live between Sundays. It does make a difference where you sleep between Sundays. It does make a difference what you drink and where you go and what you do between Sundays. Makes a difference. Makes a big difference. This thing's not just a show in the pulpit or a show when you stand before people. It's an everyday walking it out experience with God. And then when the pressure's on, you don't have to go back and try to clean up a lot of backlog, a mess. This woman, she called holy what God called holy. She respected the anointing. She recognized the anointing. I perceive that this is a holy man of God. Some people don't have a clue about the anointing. And number four, she did something that others overlooked. She did something that others overlooked. You know, that's a secret to success. I remember a number of years ago, I bought a car from Dubshaw Ford. He's deceased now, but had at that time the largest Ford dealership in the world. Largest volume Ford dealership out on South Freeway and Berry Street. And I had something wrong, and I'd been so busy, and he opened his, no other dealership was opening for service on Saturday, and so he was open for service on Saturday. Well, I was in there, man. I mean, my eyes, I was trying to get both eyes open at the same time. I was in there to get my car fixed before Sunday. And I mean, people were around that waiting room, and there were some, they were mad at their car. They were mad at the Ford agency. They were mad at, you know, they were just mad at the world. They were mad they had to be there. I mean, it was just a gripe session. And I'm sitting here, I thought, God have mercy, I've got Sunday coming and have to listen to all of this. After a while, Dub Shaw walked in, and he went around and personally met everyone and shook their hand. And he said, let me show you my pictures of my children and my grandchildren. And he began to pass around the pictures of his children and his grandchildren and began to ask, what's wrong with your car? We'll get that fixed. Yeah, we can fix that. Oh, you've been in before? We'll make double sure we're going to get it fixed this time. Thank you for coming in, giving us the chance to do that. And then he said, has anyone had breakfast? Well, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. Most of them had not had breakfast. And I tell you, we got in a couple of vans. We went out to a place that had all that stuff that clogs up your arteries. I mean, biscuits and gravy and ham and, you know, I don't know why depravity always tastes better than health food. I don't understand that. And I mean, he was walking around, bring some more biscuits. And I found out later that's what he did every Saturday morning. And I mean, after a while, people... Then he had to go on to another appointment. Going back on the van, someone said, "You know, that's the greatest man I ever met in my life." No one said, "You know, this is a wonderful Ford agency." He said, "You know, I just didn't know people did business like that anymore." He said, "Isn't he kind? He's got children. He's got grandchildren." Do you know what that man did? You're ahead of me. He did something that others overlooked. He met the problem head on. He went out and put the personal touch on. And before that morning, they were sitting back there. It was a whole different environment when we got back. Some of us had to wait longer than we thought, but everybody was talking about how great Dub Shaw is. Isn't he the kindest man? I'll tell you, it just makes car trouble not to be so bad when you do business with somebody like this. I'll tell you, folks, the secret to success is find something that others overlook and do it. Find something that others overlook and do it. I'm telling you something. Oh, praise the Lord. And then, you see, her sowing of seed resulted in more visitations. Now, let me explain it to you. She kept sowing seed, and so the prophet of God kept making more frequent visits. I mean, she's got the room now, you know. She built that later on. But I mean, he's coming by, and he knows that when he's coming by, preachers know where good food is. And because she keeps serving up, the visits continue. And his servant was with him. Everything is right. Her husband was there. Everything's in divine order. But you see, because she kept serving up the blessing kept coming back. I feel so sorry for people that I've seen through years. They come up on time. They look like death warmed over and kaplunk, you know, or put that tithe check in. You're like, "Well, here, God, get off my back." Oh, my, you missed the whole point. I'm still saying when it dawns on us how wonderful it is to give to God, we're going to have ushers restraining people. Now, I said, "Wait a minute, slow down a little bit. This is, it's got to be orderly." Amen. Oh, I'm headed for something here. You see, she just kept serving up her gifts. She kept serving up her gifts. Well, I tried that 6 months ago, and I can tell you, it just doesn't work. All these testimonies, these people. And you're right, it won't. It won't. But she just kept serving up the gifts. Just kept serving up. And the prophet of God just kept coming by. And the servant of God was with him. I'm working up to something. God's up to something in your behalf. He knows what you've been putting on the table. He knows what's been going on in your prayer closet. He knows what has been going on. I'm telling you, there's a response on our part that touches the heart of Almighty God. The woman who brought the gift of the alabaster box and the ointment, she gave the best she had. And Judas said, "It's waste." But Jesus said, "No, it's not waste. The whole world's going to hear about this." For several years, there have been people up in the power tower praying. There wasn't even a wind up there. At least Noah had a window in the ark. There wasn't even a window there. I mean, we didn't take snapshots of everyone going into the power tower and pat them on the back and give them a dozen roses and say, "You're so great coming to pray today. Oh, what a wonderful person you are." Folks, I'll tell you, this thing's gotten into my spirit big time because it came out in the paper again the other day. When the world wants to applaud something, they don't applaud my great preaching. They don't applaud the choir and praise singers as wonderful as they ministered us. You know what still turns them on? Is people that come voluntarily to pray and lift up the needs of others. And they don't do it 1 week. They just keep on coming and they just keep on coming. And then a tornado comes through. And instead of saying, "This is all waste," they just grab their pitchers and just send them all. They haven't sent my pitcher all over the world. Might have, and I didn't know it, but there's no limit to what God will do with your life if you don't care who gets the credit. There's no limit to what God will do, the blessings that God will bring back to your life if you just do what's right and you just keep doing what God told you last and you just keep on serving God. It's kind of like a Cornelius thing. You just keep on giving and you just keep on praying. That little boy that gave his lunch to Jesus, that might wind up being one of the greatest gifts in Holy Writ. How many boys give away their lunches? I said, how many boys go around giving up their lunches? Especially if they like their lunch. Now, if they don't like their lunch, they'll trade it out for marbles or something else at school. Our little Maltese dog, we feed her scientific diet. And she's a healthy little thing. Dr. Stumbo says she's aging gracefully, very gracefully. But I charcoaled. I did something I didn't do. We had a wonderful 4th of July, and I charcoaled a wonderful, wonderful T-bone steak. Wonderful. It was just perfect. I forgot you could get meat like that. And I mean, I cut all the good stuff away and got about as close as I could get without just picking it up and going after it. And I said, I believe I'm going to take this back to our little dog. So I went back and I put it in the middle of the floor on a neat newspaper. And I came back about 3 minutes later. She saw me coming. She grabbed that bone and headed for her little bed. I mean, like, get off my turf. And I mean, after a while, that bone was picked clean. And after a while, I went in there and I couldn't find the bone. I said, Joy, did you take the bone out? No. I looked all over that little utility closet and finally hidden under the clothes that had been dried. She couldn't bury it, so she hid it. There was that bone picked clean over in the corner. Hallelujah. I want to just get right in to some of the final comments that we have on this message this evening. You see, she just kept serving up, and the servant of God just kept coming by. And you know, folks, God can just take so much praise. God can just take so much thank you, Jesus. Gave the invocation at a political gathering a while ago, and I just made the statement, we want to be thankful. We want to be thankful for our nation. Folks, I'm teaching you to be a thankful people. The things that we've tried to teach you and the things that our staff has tried to teach you, I believe has been our strength in this time of tornado and disaster. If we just keep on praising the Lord, if we just stay thankful in our heart. Joyce Meyer was so accurate. Don't try to figure out the tornado. Just serve God. Don't ask the answer to every why. You don't know the answer and I don't know the answer. There's things in my life I don't have the answer to, but I know that God does. And in the midst of tragedy, if we'll just keep on praising the Lord. And if in the middle of tragedy, we just keep on giving to God. And if in the middle of tragedy, we just keep on worshiping God. Hallelujah. And just praying unto God and praying in the Spirit. It's like a magnet. It just draws that anointing. That bone drew my dog. And I'm going to tell you, I detected a little growl when I came in there. And she's the sweetest, friendliest little thing in the world. But she said, don't bother my bone. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just give unto the Lord. Let's just stay thankful. Well, I don't understand why I prayed for a relative and they died. I don't understand why I gave more last Sunday and my car quit. I don't know either, but I know one thing. If you'll keep a sweet spirit, God's getting ready to bring good things your way. God's getting ready to bring good things your way. Stay on the God side of the thing. Stay on the God side. Call holy what God calls holy. Call unholy what God calls unholy. God will bless you. You know, I was thinking of R.G. Letourneau. We've had some of our young people going to college there. My mother used to give me success stories. My mother, I'm going to tell you what, she had me, I knew the success stories backwards and forwards of all the people. Mentholatum, J.C. Penney, James Cash Penney, and on the story goes. Baldwin Locomotive and R.G. Letourneau. That man started out giving to God and just kept giving to God. You know what his goal in life was? His goal in life was to keep 10% for himself and give God 90%. That was his goal. And he so invested, he was so diligent in his business to where it just kept going. Finally, it was, 40-60, and then it was 50-50. And he just kept working on that thing until several years before R.G. Letourneau passed away. That industrialist was giving 90% of what came through his hands to God and was keeping 10%. And he said, I still have all I need and more. You know, I feel so sorry for this world system. They're trying to get all they can all they get. It's like someone said, so-and-so died. I wonder how much they left. And someone said, every penny of it. Because they sent nothing on ahead. But oh, when we tithe and when we give and when we pray and when we keep a good spirit and someone dies and we don't understand and something doesn't go our way, but we say, that doesn't change the Word of God. We just keep on praising God. Get ready, get ready. God's getting ready to serve something up for you. God is working behind the scenes in your behalf. I remember Brother Mark played the drums. I don't remember two serious conversations that we had over a period of time. And it wasn't a desire not to do that. You were busy doing all the things you're doing. I was busy. And we needed a youth minister. And one day, several years ago, I said, God, I need a good man. I need a loyal man. I need someone that will stand with me, someone that will go the distance. I said, Lord, I'm looking out. I'm looking out. God says, turn around and look behind you. Turn around and look behind me. And there's Mark Carrillo playing the drums. God said, there he is. And he's been here ever since. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need a business manager, and it was time for a transition and a change there. And I had a man that just before revival came, I said, I tell you what, in fact, the revival of 93, I said, look, we're going to have revival probably for a couple of, I don't know why, I didn't remember God said all summer, but I said, we'll probably have a couple of 3 weeks revival, and then we'll get back to talking about all this because we ran out of time. Well, the man only came to church twice, came late and left early that I was talking to. And I said, God, this doesn't look like a good deal to me. I don't need somebody to come late and leave early. I want somebody that's got their heart in this place. You know, I want someone that has the ministry really at heart. Not someone that's just hanging out and saying, if they can get something, you know. And I mean, this man was, you wouldn't believe the qualifications that he had. But when I saw him come to church on twice, I said, God, something's missing in this picture. No spirit of revival, didn't get into the move of God. And by that time, we were really headed for revival about the third week, you know. And, you know, I never did get back with him. I just wrote him a letter and I said, we're going another way. And he never did understand that. He never did understand it. And finally I said, God, we got to have somebody to help in the business administration of this church. And Lord, we've just let this man go that has great qualifications. But I'm going to tell you what, God's qualifications aren't always man's qualifications. And the way God looks at it is not always the man looks at it. Are you listening to me tonight? God doesn't always see things like we see them. Blessed is the man that sees things like God sees them and understands values like God sees them. And one day, I said, God, what am I going to do about this situation? God said, look down the front row. And I looked down there, and there's Charlie Price sitting with Laurie. And God said, how long has he been here? And I said, well, he's been right there. That's where he stays. He's happy. He's interested. He's here early. He stays late. God said, I believe you're catching the drift here. So we made a connection. Praise God. Now I could see some people saying, you got to watch them preachers. You feed them once, they'll come back again. You know, you do something for them, they'll be back all over you. I mean, they just, you know, and there's some preachers that have abused. I'm sad to tell you, there are some people in the ministry, they have the gospel of hints, not the gospel of faith. Amen. Amen. But oh, I tell you, if you'll do it God's way, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. If you're believing for an elephant, build a bigger garage. Your garage won't hold an elephant. Not a big one. Get ready for the blessings of God. I'm telling you how God views things. How God views things. It's interesting. We needed someone in stitches, and Craig and Becky came in to help us for a few days. And we knew that this was the direction that God came in for a few days. Supposed to be here about 2 weeks. And how many years ago has that been, Becky? 6 years next month. That's a long 3 weeks. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, when God's in the mix, the pieces fit. When God's in the mixes, you don't have to force something, shove something, and make something work. I'm looking for easy flow and easy go, low maintenance. Easy flow and easy go, low maintenance. I've got enough on my mind without having more on my mind. I'm just saying, Lord, give me a group of people that want to praise the Lord and win souls and give to missions. And if a tornado blows our church down, we don't get all bent out of shape, mad at God. We know a better church is coming. A better day is coming. A new church is coming. So in the meantime, we're just going to praise the Lord. Praise God. Woo. Oh, thanks be unto God. Her sowing resulted in more visitation and greater anointings of God. And finally, her sowing cost her something. You know, there's times when your sowing costs you something. We like those stories. I gave five and got 50 before the day was over. We like those instant stories. But you know, if we'll just give and leave the timing to God. Just give and leave the when and the timing to God. And how big it is or when it is or what it is. We just praise the Lord. And before long, her sowing resulted in a supernatural breakthrough. Supernatural breakthrough. Hallelujah. I'm seeing this thing more clearly all the time. There's more than just, this is your lucky day or something just happened. And I'm calling it this. We position ourselves. You can't make God do anything. I don't want to make God do anything. But God says if you'll just position yourself. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways. God said I'll heal their land. I'll forgive their sin. Just like this woman, the prophet of God said, tell her to ask what she will. You know, I don't want to ask for something stupid or foolish or something I don't need. Amen. You know, some people just get really foolish about this type of thing. But I mean, when you really need something, you need something. And when you need a breakthrough, you need a breakthrough. And when you need, you know, we have some people that have had layoffs and that were totally unexpected. And you know, I believe in my heart, God has something so good for them. Because if you'll give before the storm, if you'll pray before the storm, if you'll keep a good spirit before the storm, if you'll frequent the house of God before the storm, when the storm comes, really that's no big deal. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. There's a way to position yourself to receive the greater blessings of God. And that's the history of this church. We've given and given and given, and so many people have said, Pastor Nichols, you don't have a clue. I don't think, and I really don't think on that side of it. I'm so busy. I just love to give. I've got to work on that receiving deal. You know, I just get so fired up giving. But the Bible said it's better to, more blessed to than to receive. But how many know if you don't receive, you're in trouble? Amen. The receiving is just as godly as the giving. The receiving is just as much a principle of God's word as the giving. And I've preached this for years. You show kind, you know, some people are so tacky, so mean to other people's children, and yet they get their feelings all in a huff if somebody doesn't treat their little child right. You treat other people's children right, and God will treat your children right. You love other people's children when they act unlovely, and God will help somebody to love your child when they act unlovely. Sow seeds. Help somebody else. Minister to somebody else. Help them in their time of need. Find a way, seek a way, search out a way to be a giver. And then when the storms of life come, you can just know that Jesus is in the boat and he's just a prayer of faith away. Woman, ask what you will. What is your petition?